You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money Markets podcast for this Thursday, the 11th of December 2025, a day where the Australian share market rose by about 0.2% by the close. It was up a lot higher earlier in the session. We'll have more details on that with Darren Thompson from Equity Trustees in a few moments, including his analysis of the US Federal Reserve cutting interest rates by 25 basis points. But first, to some mixed news about the labour market. The Bureau of Statistics today saying Australia's unemployment rate remained at 4.3% in November, but there was a fall in the total number of jobs created, around 21,000, while the participation rate eased to 66.7%. Does that change the way the market is now thinking about the future of interest rates? Remember, in the past week or so, some parts of the market are pricing in some rate rises. But does this mean rate cuts are still on the cards? For that and more, I spoke with Diana Messina, AMP Deputy Chief Economist. Diana, how would you describe the labour market at the moment? Because prior to this, the RBA had called it a little tight. Is it still?
I would say the labour market is around balanced at the moment. I mean, we have to look at the broad set of labour market figures that we get, the unemployment rate, employment growth, employment to population ratios, underemployment, underutilisation. So there's actually quite a broad range of indicators just within the labour force print. And I think it's quite fair to say that the labour market is in balance. I suppose the RBA's view around it being a little bit tight hinges on the RBA's own assumptions about where what economists call NARU is, which is basically the neutral rate of unemployment. So their expectation is that that number is somewhere at around 4.5%, whereas our view at AMP is that we're already basically at the neutral level of the unemployment rate. And that's why we're seeing some softening in wages growth.
So are there any specific signs of softening in these numbers?
Well, in the past few months, we have seen some softening in the labour force figures, in particular around employment growth. So the pace of employment growth has averaged only about 10,000 jobs in the last 3 months. And in the past 6 months, it's averaged about 9,000 jobs. So the monthly volatility in the labour market figures has been quite big in recent periods. So that's why it's good to average out what happens over a few months worth of data. And given that we only have 10,000 jobs growth every month, that's not high enough just to account for how many people come into the workforce every single month based on population growth. That number's running closer to like 38,000 people coming into the working age population every single month, but jobs growth is only running at 10,000. To me, that's a clear sign that the labour market has weakened. In the data that we got today for November, we also saw the participation rate dipping quite a lot. That can be a sign that people are less engaged with the labour market. You know, they're not confident to go out and find a job because they think that conditions are low or they cannot find a job. And we also saw some indicators of underemployment start to increase again. So the unemployment rate is still low, but I think at the margins, we can see some softening in the labour force figures. And as well as that, the forward-looking labour force data, things like job ads and hiring intentions, the stock of job vacancies, those have all been trending down now for the better part of 12 months. And they're not really pointing to a rebound in jobs growth. They're sort of pointing to a stall, or I think also a bit of a tick up to the unemployment rate in the next few months.
Looking at these jobs numbers, what do you think it means for monetary policy given the shift we've seen in the recent weeks?
The data today basically has something in it for everyone, because you can point to the slowdown in the unemployment rate as a sign that things are still pretty good. But then you can point to the fact that we had negative jobs growth in November and say, actually, employment demand is softening and the participation rate has fallen. So I don't think today's figures changes the rhetoric that has come from the RBA recently. I think that in their eyes, they would still see their forecasts for the unemployment rate as being intact. They're forecasting the unemployment rate this quarter to average out at 4.4%. I think it's probably likely to show that number. And also in this particular month, we saw from the ABS that there were some issues with the New South Wales survey component of the data. Apparently, they couldn't survey 1/8 of the sample from New South Wales, and so they excluded it. And I think that that has impacted the data. I think that the unemployment rate looks artificially low compared to where it may have been because they've excluded these figures. For example, in November, the New South Wales unemployment rate went to 3.9%, and last month it was over 4%. So I think the churn or the dodgy data that we are seeing may compel the RBA to wait another month or two to really get a better read on the labour force figures. I don't think that they're going to change policy after just based on today's figures.
And in terms of changing policy, this idea or the notion that interest rates now are more than likely to rise than fall, even if it could take some time. I've seen some economists say that the February meeting is live. What's your view?
Well, we are still thinking that the RBA holds rates steady for a long period of time. So for all of 2026, we expect no change to the cash rate. And actually, our view is that the risk is still of a rate cut rather than a rate hike. And actually, that hinges on our expectation that the labour market's going to soften a bit more. We think the unemployment rate is headed a bit high just based on some of that forward-looking jobs data and also expectations that a lot of the public sector jobs have peaked and are going to slow down in the next 12 months, and the private sector jobs growth has actually been pretty flat more recently. So if we don't see the private sector keep or take some of the space that the public sector was growing at, it's going to be a bit of a problem for jobs growth and the unemployment rate. I think if we get another strong quarterly inflation print at the end of January, then the February meeting could definitely be a live one. But our view is that inflation is going to soften and that in the next set of inflation figures that we get for the quarter, it's actually going to look a bit better and not compel the Reserve Bank to cut rates.
That's Deanna Messina there from AMP. To the Australian share market now, which rose by 0.15%, so let's just say 0.2, on the S&P ASX 200, 8,592. The market, though, did open a lot stronger, and that followed an interest rate cut by the US Federal Reserve, rates there falling by 25 basis points to a range of 3.5% to 3.75%. So that midpoint is the same rate as Australia's cash rate target at 3.6%. Anyway, back to the market, about five of the sectors on the index fell. The information technology sector, the worst performing, followed by healthcare. The best performing sectors include materials and property. And a quick check of the best and worst performing stocks. James Hardy leading the leaders board, up by 7% today. Ramelius Resources, the gold producer, up by 6.7%. And Flight Centre also doing well, shares up by 5.4% today. The losers include Catalyst Metals, down by about 8.8%, Drone Shield off by 6.6%, and Premier Investments, it lost about 5% today. Solomon Liu, the businessman there, receiving a seat at the board of Myer. He'll take that seat in about April next year. So for more on the day's market action, including a detailed look at the impact of the US Federal Reserve's cut in official interest rates there, I spoke with Darren Thompson, the Chief Investment Officer at Equity Trustees. Darren, so the US Federal Reserve cut interest rates there by 25 basis points overnight. The interesting thing is that decision wasn't unanimous. And then looking out through to 2026 and 27, the outlook from members gets messy, one even predicting rates to go as low by 2% by the end of 2026. So can you run through how the market reacts? And is it fair to say that rates in the US are likely to stay on hold for a little while instead of these continuous falls?
I think where you ended there is exactly right. I think there's a range of opinions, but on balance, I think the rates are likely to be on hold for the near term. So essentially, I think there's both pros and cons. The Fed's walking a pretty tight line between the inflationary concerns and the outcome of tariffs, which are still uncertain at the moment, and sort of patchy labour market data. So they're walking that fine line. So on balance, whilst they've made that 25-point cut as expected, we probably think the next meeting will see no change, but we do probably see one to two cuts over the course of the next 12 months in the US.
It's interesting to see how the market reacted because we saw the share market anyway have a leg up as a result, right? But not just the share market, commodities too, the likes of gold and especially silver, which is at a record. Can I get your views?
Yeah, gold and silver are interesting commodities. Normally, they're hedges for uncertainty when markets are weaker. But obviously, at more recent times, the last couple of years, as you know, gold and silver have been very strong while markets have been strong, which is a little unusual in, as being a hedge. Look, at the end of the day, I think it reflects the fact that people don't really know. So they've gravitated towards silver and gold as that sort of element of an uncorrelated asset, an element of uncertainty. I couldn't really tell you where I think it's going to go now, other than when there are lines at Martin Place looking to buy a gold bullion. I think it's probably closer to the top than the bottom, would be my view.
Okay, what about locally? We had the jobs numbers, which I spoke in detail about with Diana Messina from AMP. It came in a little bit softer on some of the read, about 21,000 jobs lost, still the unemployment rate at 4.3%. Does it change at all the market's outlook for potential rate rises here? And was that the catalyst for the softening that we saw on the ASX 200 late Monday, late in the morning, given that we saw a stronger open?
Yeah, probably in that short, really short term, I think that probably did have an impact. But again, the labour market data here is quite patchy. Now, you've had some of the, as you said, you've had job losses over more recent periods, but there was a bit of a reduction in the participation rate. The unemployment rate at 4.3 was sort of a touch better than expected. So again, patchy. So I think what that means is locally, I do think we're going to be on hold for a meaningful period in terms of the RBA settings. We were of a view that the market was being too pessimistic or optimistic, depending on what side of the fence you're on regarding cuts. And that I think the RBA quite sensibly doesn't want to tinker too much with rates unless they have to. So I think ultimately, whilst inflation's a little bit above their target, they're likely to remain on hold for the near term. And some in the market have now flipped to forecasting two rate rises over the next 12 months. We don't think it's going to be that case. We think, as I said, that the RBA is likely to sort of be in and around this level and maintain an element of certainty, I guess, for the market in the medium term.
Okay, and so with that sort of thing in mind, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors as we head into 2026?
I'm a bit of a Grinch going into Christmas. We've had two really strong years of market returns. So as we head into 2026, the outlook looks pretty good. But again, I guess there's probably three reasons why that gives me a little bit of concern. Firstly, essentially, as I said, I don't think rates are going to give the market a fillip. I think they're going to be on hold. So we really got to look for other facets to drive the market. Secondly, I think the bears have got a bit tired. So there's quite a lot of consensus around things being okay in the next 12 months. The US economy looks okay. We've got the one big beautiful bill stimulus coming through in the next quarter. Fiscal policy, monetary policy, still pretty supportive. So people have gravitated towards markets looking quite strong over the next 12 months. And of course, the market always forecasts future expectations. So I think there's a reasonable amount of optimism already built in. And of course, we start the year 15 to 20% higher than we were 12 months ago. So market valuations have got a fair bit of optimism built in. There's already a positive outlook. So I guess my caution would be that things may not prove to be quite as Goldilocks, if you like, in terms of how things pan out over the next 12 months. Not a disaster, but still perhaps not the same level of returns we've had over the last couple of years.
It's Darren Thompson there from Equity Trustees, and he wraps up the podcast for this Thursday. Give it a like and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click subscribe, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.